I'll smoke a pack of Jack while I'm flat on my back. I'll eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on nice and thick. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Last night, a tornado slammed into the Texas border town of Eagle Pass, killing 6 in the U.S. and 3 in Mexico. At least 81 people were injured. Buildings were destroyed on both sides of the border. Tornado warnings in the region remain in effect. On Capitol Hill, the House today is expected to vote on the $100 billion war appropriations bill. The measure contains provisions for withdrawal of U.S. troops in Iraq. President Bush has vowed a veto. The U.N. says it is unable to furnish its usual report on the number of civilian casualties in Iraq because the Iraqi government is withholding the information. The U.N. routinely compiles the death toll every 3 months. Iraqi officials deny political motivation. They say they're changing the methodology they use to gather statistics. The U.S. military identified an insurgent killed in the Anbar province last week as a senior al-Qaeda official. The Pentagon says the Iraqi led a militant group that recruited children for suicide car bomb operations. Murder charges have been filed against a Canadian prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, setting the stage for his military trial. Omar Khadr was 15 when he was captured during a battle in Afghanistan. If convicted, he faces a life sentence. Today in Afghanistan, 7 Afghani soldiers were killed, 1 wounded, when their convoy hit a roadside bomb near the Pakistan border. In Gaza, Egyptian officials meet with representatives from the armed wing of Hamas today. The Cairo delegation will attempt to revive the ceasefire between the Palestinian territories and Israel. Yesterday, Hamas militants fired rockets into Israel in retaliation for the death of 9 Palestinians over the weekend. In Mexico City, municipal lawmakers have voted to legalize abortion, the first community in predominantly Catholic Mexico to do so. Adversaries vow to challenge the law in the country's Supreme Court. Senator John McCain is expected to officially announce his candidacy for president today. The four-term Arizona senator is an ex-Navy pilot, former Vietnam POW, and recipient of the Silver Star. World leaders are attending the funeral today of former Russian President Boris Yeltsin. 76-year-old Yeltsin died of heart disease on Monday. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Astronomers announced that for the first time they have discovered a planet outside our solar system enough like Earth to be habitable. The planet is 20 light years away and appears to have temperatures capable of sustaining water and life as Homo sapiens know it. Federal investigators say hog farms in 6 states were sent contaminated pet food as pig feed. Authorities say they are unclear whether hogs that consumed the poison kibble have entered the human food supply. The FDA says swine have tested positive for poison in California and the Carolinas. In April, U.S. consumer confidence dropped to its lowest level in 8 months. Some analysts say the numbers reflect a softening of the nation's economy. AT&T announced its quarterly profit doubled to nearly $3 billion. The telecommunications giant attributed the profit surge to increased sales to businesses and robust growth in wireless accounts. Walmart announced it will open medical clinics in as many as 400 of its stores within the next 2 to 3 years. The world's largest retailer already operates 76 clinics in a dozen states. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.94 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, a new record. The Dow Jones is up 52 points at 13,006. The NASDAQ is up 9 points. S&P 500 up 5. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, mate. Welcome to the show. I'm not John Fox, but I play one on television. Ha ha! Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Joe Vecchio here, covering for John Fox as he is out doing other stuff, important stuff, and we miss him. And I want to thank him, by the way, for covering for me yesterday when I couldn't make my show for various nefarious reasons. How is everybody doing today? If you're just tuning in, if you normally tune in to John Fox and miss my show in the morning, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to get up an hour earlier and listen to the radio? But you got a problem? No, I'm filling in for John today, and I'm glad to do it. I like to do it, and I'm happy, especially since I missed yesterday. So it's always good to do that. If you want to call in, the number is 1-877-443-2366, or you can call 1-304-658-5453. Let's turn this into open mic night if we can. Let's see if we can get as many people to call in, spend a couple of minutes on the phone, talk to me, let me know what's going on. I just want to, because you know something, it's another freaking hour, and I just want to have a little bit more of a letting you say what you feel instead of just listening to me rant and rave for an hour. So give us a call if you can. That's 1-304-658-5453 or 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Where the heck was I? You know, when I was over on my show and just talking about stuff, and you know, I don't do the conservation thing very much, not because I don't think it's an important issue, of course, just because that's not necessarily my gig, and John does such a great job of it. I was listening to that the news, and they were talking about the tornadoes, and I was thinking, you know, right away, Newt Gingrich is going to accuse the tornado of being an illegal immigrant. and it's going to demand better border guards to be able to stop the tornadoes and get the IDs of them as they cross the border, and, you know, maybe have some Minutemen to try to shoot the tornadoes as they cross the border. And you know what I was thinking? If anybody remembers the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati, there was a really funny episode when they had a tornado hitting the city, and they asked Les Nessman, the news guy, to do a report on it. He said, "Well, I don't have anything for about tornadoes. Well, what have you got?" I said, "Well, I've got something in case the communists attack." Well, here's what you do. Read the communist thing, and wherever the word communist shows up, use the word tornadoes. So he said, okay. And he's like, all right, the city is under attack by the godless tornadoes. So Texas is under attack by the godless tornadoes. And I shouldn't make light too much of that because, you know, people did die, but... you know, you got to do something, because otherwise, you know, if I didn't laugh at certain, you know, at stuff, I'd hide under my blanket and you know, oh hell, I wouldn't even do that. I'd just go into the bathroom and slip my throat or something, you know, because Christ Almighty, things are bad all over the world, man. Things are bad, and you want stuff to get better, but sometimes the only enjoyment you get is just a little laugh out of a quick joke you hear on the TV or on the radio or something like that. And sometimes it just brings it into perspective. And, you know, what I keep waiting for, you know, with the current administration and the corporate running of the country, what I keep waiting for is for them to finally get kicked out. And it's such a feeling of energy, such a feeling of a weight that's been lifted from your shoulders, that we'll be able to actually get stuff done. Because as I mentioned in the last show, the problem is that, you know, once we do win, the meaning of victory is that we just have the chance to get back to work. We're being prevented from getting to work. You know, we're watching these guys make a mess of the world while we're being held back. And just like in The Lord of the Rings at the end, and they never covered this part in the book, because at the end, when they came back to the Shire had been taken over by Saruman, who had escaped from Orthanc, and just made a mess of everything, and... You know, the hobbits had to clean it up, and, you know, everybody was feeling real bad because life under Saruman's rule over there was obviously not very good. He had his half-orcs there rampaging through the towns, just bullying people and stealing from them. But when the time came for it, they got busy, but they were happy that they were busy because they knew that they could see an end to it. And the problem is now that you just can't see an end to it. And I'm worried about, you know, and I'm seriously worried about the ability of the human race to survive this because of the environmental stuff. And I saw something the other day, and I've been reading about this, about the massive disappearance of bees, and they're not really sure why that's happening. Now, maybe you think, well, you know, bees, no big deal, but bees pollinate something like 80% of our edible plants in this country and across, because it's happening worldwide, too. And no one's really sure what's going on with that. No one seems to know why. And there was a massive death of amphibians as well. A lot of frogs were dying off, and they weren't really sure why. And frogs, because of their very nature, they are very, very sensitive to environmental changes. And there's really complete and total evidence that the environment is changing, that it is caused by human activity, and that we really do need to do something about it. And it's Mr. Gore and the others who point out this issue try to be nice and say, you know, this should not be a partisan issue. This should be very important because, you know, the environment will wreak havoc on Democrats and Republicans alike, and on communists and on fascists and on everybody. You know, nature like that is indiscriminate. It's very arbitrary. It's humans that are fair or unfair, right? But, you know, tell a Republican that and they just won't believe you. Because they think it's just another excuse for them to get you to change their behavior, which is mostly self-destructive. Let's take a little break. Let's take our first break for the show. If you want to call in, if you've got something to say, and I really would like to hear from you today, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, or 1-877-4 Head On. And give me a call. Let me know what you got to say. We'll be back with more of Foxed Up with John Fox on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Shelley, my latest single is called In My Time. It's all about the pressure to drink and how to handle it. Now, I'm not going to preach, but I've made my choice. I'm waiting till I'm 21, and I encourage you to stay safe and wait until the time is right for you. You can download my song and the video for free at www.inmytime.net. That's www.inmytime.net. Thanks for listening. This message was brought to you by the Kansas Department of Transportation. Stay safe.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill.
They call me the big deal. How's everybody doing? I am Joe Vecchio, filling in for John Fox today, trying to talk with an Australian accent, and fairly miserably. I could say my name is Bruce and do that whole Monty Python routine. Hello, Bruce. Where are you, Bruce? I mentioned Monty Python to a coworker the other day, and she mentioned that she never heard of Monty Python. And I'm like, you never heard of Monty Python? You might as well tell me you never heard of the Easter Bunny. That's right. Oh, enough to boil a monkey's bum in here. I heard the Prime Minister use that. How is everybody doing this afternoon? It is about 20 after 10 a.m. here in Chicago, Illinois. The Windy City. City with the big shoulders. That toddle in town. Oh God! I'm sorry. I'm a little out of it, you know, and I apologize. So that because, you know, sometimes things happen. I'm a little disoriented by work, and I've been disoriented by everything that's been going on in the Bush administration. No, it's easy to get disoriented. Because it's like living in Alice in Wonderland type of place, you know? You just want to bang your head against the wall until it makes sense. Or until you fall unconscious, whatever comes first. And what I'm glad about on the internet is the fact that it does give us an opportunity to raise a voice. Now, there's a new thing, and I only know marginally about this. Maybe Bob Kincaid knows more about it than I do, but there was this recent ruling about royalties for music played on internet streaming radio or something. It was not a major thing, but it's going to have a lot of effect, apparently, because they want to charge internet radio shows a lot more for royalties than they would for broadcasts. And that, you know, that could even affect guys like us who play our little cue music here from time to time. Excuse me a second. Now we're hoping that higher courts will reverse this decision, but we'll see what happens on that end. But as always, you know, in this country, there's always been, or at least while Republicans are in charge, there was always a slant towards large business getting much more favoritism than there is towards smaller business. You know, when I grew up in New York, we had a lot of mom-and-pop stores, and a lot of these mom-and-pop stores are going by the wayside. And they still exist much more in places like New York and here in Chicago, because you can really do that sort of local thing. But it's really much more difficult, certainly impossible out in the suburbs, to have those really kind of mom-and-pop places, especially when you have a place like Walmart that's dropped one of their little big box stores in there. And they had a big controversy here about Walmart wanting to open up a big box store in very close to Chicago. Chicago doesn't want them at all, or at least some people in Chicago. The mayor wants them now, and some of the aldermen want them, but some of us recognize, you know, what Walmarts do to the environment, to workers' salaries, to just general conditions overall, because they really, you know, they bring down the bottom of the barrel. It's really the bottom of the barrel. And they destroy communities. And what I try to tell people is, look, you know, any job is not better than no job at all. I'm sorry you feel like, you know, you just need to work and you need to get a job. But you know what? It's not worth it. In the long run, it's not worth it because they don't pay you enough, first of all. You have no benefits to speak of. In fact, they brag about how many of their employees have to get, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, and stuff like that. And you know something, with my job, I just found out about this yesterday, I didn't even think about it, really. Since work has been slow, I could actually apply for unemployment. So maybe I'll go ahead and do that, so at least they get some money come in if I'm not working. Because there have been occasions where I'm not working at all in a single week, or I may be working 1 or 2 days a week, and that's not good. But at any rate, my point is that a lot of these places have been deluded into thinking that A lot of these people have been deluded into thinking that just having a job is enough. That you should be happy to just have a job. And it's not enough. It's not enough. You've got to stand up for yourself. And you've got to stand up to these corporations that are doing these things. And Walmart's just the biggest and nastiest one of them. And I always urge people to go local whenever possible. Support the mom-and-pop stores, even if sometimes they cost a little more money. You know what? In the long run, it's worth it, because these little mom-and-pop places deserve to stay open, because they don't get the big benefits that a big company does. And the reason why a lot of stores go out of business when Walmart show up is because Walmart can underprice them. And the reason why they can underprice them is they do some very nasty stuff, like stealing from their employees. And, you know, to keep more in setting with John's show, they're bad for the environment in the long run. Suburban sprawl in general is bad for the environment. And, in fact, I mentioned the disappearance of bees. They said that might actually be one factor as more and more people move out into these areas and, you know, disrupt the environment. And, you know, and I've said it before, look, we went from 1 billion people in the late 1800s to about 6 billion people now. That's the human population has gone up 6 times in a century. And that's going to have some effect on the environment, even not counting the effects of industry. Because, you know, 100 years ago, the technology was unbelievably different than it is now. And we have the ability to use our technology to make this a cleaner, greener planet to live on. And we could still do it while you know, enjoying ourselves and getting enough energy use, getting enough to suit our daily needs. All it takes is a little effort. And I try to do the best I can. We do the recycling thing as much as I possibly. I don't go overboard. I don't, you know, I'm not a vegetarian or anything like that. I think going vegetarian is a little overboard, but hey, you know, if that's what you want, that's what you want. I'm all happy with that. I just think we just need to be smarter and more responsible. And you know something? You know, and this is the thing, in using the bees as an example, there are two ways you can deal with the problem. You can do what the scientists are doing, which is gathering together, comparing their notes, and trying to figure out what's going on, using their brains, using their knowledge, using their experience to try to figure out what's happening, and then try to find a solution for it. For the ideologue, the solution is to pray. Yeah, that'll solve your problems for you. To me, that's a sin against God, to not try to use your brain, because, you know, isn't that what God gave it to you for? I mean, if God, you know, that's why none of the religion stuff makes sense to me. If God gave you a brain, I assume he expects you to use it. He didn't give it to you to trick you. Why would he do that? What's the point? If God wanted yes men, he could have created yes men, and we wouldn't even be having these problems. And, you know, really what really shocks me is that organized religion, Catholics, Baptists, all of them, they should be the first ones to be getting on the environmental bandwagon, because if they truly believe, as the Bible supposedly says, I think it says that God gave us dominion over the earth, yeah, I'm pretty sure it says that, then don't you think we have the we should take the time to learn as much as we can about it so that we can be better caretakers? That just makes sense to me. But as always with organized religion, it actually has nothing to do with, you know, any of that. It's just all about just one small group of people trying to control another group of people, a larger group of people. That's what almost everything has been about since human civilization began, really. And that's why life sucks for most people. And I'm one of the lucky ones. John Fox is one of the lucky ones. Bob Kincaid, all the people here in the head-on chat room. We're all lucky people. We're very fortunate. You know, we talk about people who inherited great wealth. Well, we inherited a great nation. We're watching it being destroyed slowly but surely because of people who simply aren't satisfied with what they've got, which is everything already. And they have absolutely no scruples, no morals, no compunction about killing people to take their money. They're petty thieves in high places. And I think is the title of a book about them. And I just worry about the type of revenge the planet's going to take on them eventually. Because the planet will take revenge on us if we don't care for it. Hurricane Katrina was not the end all of it. There could be far worse than that. I'm still waiting for somebody to give me a call here. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing. The number to call in. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. Or you can use the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. Use the 304 number if you can. And in the meantime, we'll be back with Fox Stuff with John Fox here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're always gonna be the one. You only ever did it just for fun. But you run to paradise.
Shh. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. George Bush and the Republican Party have never liked Social Security and Medicare. They don't believe in the public sector, and they want everyone to have to throw themselves on the not-so-tender mercies of the marketplace, even in old age, even when disabled or infirm. So they keep prattling on about how Social Security and Medicare are going bankrupt. Problem is, they're not. The latest estimate by the trustees of Social Security shows that the system will be able to pay everyone 100% of benefits all the way to the year 2041. And after that, the system would be able to pay nearly 100% of benefits with a tinker here or there. On Medicare, the system has squirreled away enough money to make sure everyone's covered through 2019. And yes, after that, we might need to increase funding for it. But isn't that what we should be doing anyway, instead of spending $100 billion a year on the Iraq War? There's always $500 billion or $2 trillion for a needless, reckless war, and Republicans are all for that. But to provide for the elderly and the disabled and the ailing, there's no money for that, or so they'd want us to believe. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
I said I pitied a fool.
Oh, yeah. I pitied a fool who votes Republican. Let's get right to the phones. Our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. is on line one. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
Hey, Joe. Kevin, as you all know, one thing I must point out, you know, and this is why you need to feel sorry for the Rush Limbaughs and the Bushes and the Hannitys, you know, the hate mongers, is that you cannot, none of these people can go, and it's a measure that we will often take for granted, walk out on the street without having a bodyguard.
Right.
And, you know, their lives are so empty that they take solace in acquiring more power and stuff. Yeah.
I was going to say it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that they'll just eventually self-destruct because, you know, they don't have any purpose behind what they're doing except to get more for themselves, right?
Yeah. As you know, and you being a fellow New Yorker, you know, I'm from New York too. And, you know, for years I often wondered why, like, a lot of these film stars who live in these palatial estates out on the West Coast in Los Angeles will spend hundreds of millions of dollars or, you know, hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars living in a studio apartment in Manhattan. It's because one thing Manhattan allows these people to do is be anonymous. Walk to a corner grocery store and get a quart of milk and stuff. Which is something in Los Angeles they cannot do. You know,
right, exactly.
You know, by nature, we are communal animals. And, you know, these people are forgetting their natural state.
Well, they always like to talk about how, you know, they use the libertarian stuff and they say, you know, a lion gets up every day knowing it's got to be the fastest lion, and the deer gets up every day knowing it's got to be the fastest deer, blah, 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 blah. But of course, their analogy is all wrong. Lions are not solitary hunters; they hunt in groups. In fact, the true solitary hunters, the cheaters, have a lot more problems because almost as soon as they catch something, somebody comes around and steals it from them.
Yeah. And you know, the other day, what's his name, Carl Rove, and this is why I know he has some issues. The singer Sheryl Crow, I guess, touched his shoulder. And so, you know, you work for me, you know, work me being us, the American people. And
right. He
just pushed her arm away and said, I do not work for you. You don't touch me. And I'm like.
Well, I think it was Karl Rove who said, I work for the American people. But isn't Sheryl Crow an American person?
Yeah. Well, besides all that, but I'm just saying, again, it all goes down to the sexual stuff. Someone like Sheryl Crow, you know, lovely, beautiful, talented woman like Sheryl Crow, and he pushes her arm away? Think about that. I would love to be touched by a woman like Sheryl Crow. you know, I'm a married man and all, but I'm still a man. I would love to be touched by someone like Sheryl Crow. And so, you know, Carl Rose has some very, and it all, again, if you look at any of those, you know, World War II documentaries on the History Channel or whatever, it always comes down to the sex stuff, you know, the deep-seated sexual issues. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people who are in power, you know, if they go on their psychiatrist's couch, some stuff will be revealed.
Well, I've always kind of had the idea that the main reason why Republicans in particular, conservatives in general, like to control women because a lot of them, if they didn't build a society where women were forced to marry people they didn't necessarily want, that these guys would never get laid.
That too. Look at what Rush Limbaugh has to do. Flat out the Dominican Republic with a bottle full of Viagra.
Is he married now? Is he finished with his second or third wife? Or how many wives has he had?
I really don't know, and I don't care. That's his issue. You know,
and gee, let's see. How long has John Kerry been married to Teresa Hines?
About 10 years.
And,
he's only
and
been
how long
two.
Has how long has John Edwards been married?
20 some odd. But
20-some. And those two are both on. You know, that's number one for each of them, right? I mean, it's not like
no. With what's his name from South Carolina? That was his only wife. You know, with John Kerry. Both instances, okay, they divorced, but these were women who were very attractive and a lot more wealthier than he ever was.
But okay, but then you've got you know, Senator Clinton, right? And she's been married to Bill Clinton for how long? And they've never been married to anybody else, right?
No.
So they've stuck together throughout all their problems. And Clinton does have, Clinton did have an infidelity problem, and we understood that. But, you know, that's a personal problem that has nothing to do with it. But the point of the matter is, you look at the Republicans, Newt Gingrich is what, on his third wife? Rudy Giuliani's on his third wife?
Yeah, and Newt Gingrich, he's sick. One thing I say, you know, about marriage, when you take the vows through sickness and in health, Newt Gingrich left one of his wives on her, had her sign divorce papers while she was dying of cancer.
Yeah, she was in the hospital with cancer. And he dumped that woman that he dumped his wife for, he will later on dump that woman for an even younger woman.
Yeah, so, you know, these people are very, and, you know, if you, last night they had a very interesting program on the History Channel, or was it the Times Channel, on Hitler's psychological stuff. You know he never had any sexual relations with Eva Braun.
Well, he only had one testicle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, no, but he never did, so, you know, there's nothing worse than someone who has sexual hang-ups. Nothing worse. These are the meanest people in the world.
Well, I'm glad to say, you know, I don't have any sexual hang-ups. I had a great relationship with my late wife in every form imaginable. I was actually one of the very, my wife and I were very lucky to have found each other because we were both just perfect for each other. And we had a really, really wonderful relationship. And it's stuff that guys like Gingrich and them wish they did have. But the problem is I really don't think they're capable of that kind of true emotional attachment, because I think, you know, and I don't generally like to get into the psychology of people like that because I'm not qualified for it. And quite frankly, I'd be perfectly happy for them to live out whatever psychosis they have as long as they're out of power. That's my main deal, you know.
Oh, well, but they make it hard.
Oh, yeah. But I really do think that if they had a, if they did have that kind of stable relationship where they, you know, that things would be better for them. You know, if they, you know, I used to think about maybe we ought to get a committee together to get Republicans blowjobs, you know, because maybe if a few of them got laid a little bit more, you know, they wouldn't be so uptight.
I don't know about all that, you know, but I just say look into the mind and look into the hang-ups that they all have, you know, and it's a very scary deal, very much is, and, you know.
Well, they're scary people on a lot of levels, Kevin.
Yeah, and that is if they want the BJ, you know, that is if they may want something else. They may want to be doing it themselves, but are afraid to.
That's the whole thing. The ones that are the most violently anti-gay are the ones that are just combined. By the way, did you see now? There's nobody that hates gay people more than Reverend Fred Phelps. I believe.
Well,
he has some serious issues, and he has that website GodHatesFags.com, and I got to post it up on my blog somewhere. But somewhere, I think it was from the Sideshow, I got the link, and I thought it was a parody. But no, his people put together, if you remember the song We Are the World by USA for Act of Africa, all the big stars.
Yeah.
And a bunch of his people were singing, and the words were, God hates the world and all its people.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
And you know, the reason why God hates the world, apparently, according to them, is because we simply allow homosexuals to live. That's why God hates the world.
Oh, you know, like you said, he may have some issues on his own.
That whole family has some serious, serious issues.
You know, when you dwell into other people's bedroom habits, usually you do, like Hagerty. You ever seen that documentary that they did, Pelosi did on the fundamentalists?
No, I don't think so. Pelosi?
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi narrated.
She did a documentary, or are you talking about an investigation?
An investigation on the fundamentalists in America, whatever. It was on HBO. And every minute, Ted Hagerty kept on asking a lot of his male pastors, how's the sex life? How's the sex life? If somebody kept on asking, I'd be like, dude, what concern is it of yours? You know, so get out of it.
Well, I guess he was just looking, you know. And, of course, he has been recently, you know, they made him go straight. You know, they said, he's straight now. He took our little course, and he's straight now.
Yeah. And I like to sell you a bridge in Brooklyn.
Exactly. We've got some swampland down there in Florida we'd like to sell you too.
Yeah.
Listen, Kevin, we got to roll out here, but thanks for calling in, okay?
No problem. Anytime.
You take care.
Okay.
And stay sane in Washington D.C.
Oh, it's easy. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Take care. Bye bye. All right. Let's say it's a little early, but let's go ahead and take our last break here, and then we'll be back with the final segment. of Fox Stuff with John Fox.
Give me strength to fight temptation. Lord, lead me to your salvation. The Bible says, as plain as day, with a man you shall not lay. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my strength. Fill me with your love. Help me fight these feelings and help me rise above. Lord, help them hear me and make clear my voice. 'Cause being gay is nothing but a choice. God hates the facts. God hates facts. God hates facts. If you're a fag, he hates you.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Leaving home on a Greyhound bus, cast out by the ones he loves, a victim of these gay days, it seems. Georgia went to New York town, where he quickly settled down and soon became the toast of the great white way. Accepted by Manhattan's elite and all the places that were chic, no party was complete without George. Along the boulevard. street crew and all the old queens blew their fuse. Everybody loved Georgie Boy.
Okay, we're back here on Fox Stuff with John Fox. And this is the final segment here. And we're finishing up. Okay, I hope everybody's doing well. Thanks again for Kevin for calling in. Yeah, you know, I don't always like to get into the psychology of why the Bush people do what they do. Why things are, you know, why they're so nasty and so mean. You know something, that's not my job, that's not my place. Although I can understand the desire to try to understand that. It's just that I just think that the more important thing is to keep them out of power. You know, because there's always going to be people like that. And there always have been people like that throughout history. It's just that, unfortunately, a lot of times those are the ones that have control over other people's lives. And that's, you know, and that's my big deal. And that's my big deal. And I'm not really sure about the whole, I didn't see too much about the Sheryl Crow incident. But, you know, when Carro says he works for the American people, I want to make it clear to everybody what he means when he says the American people. Because he's not talking about guys like you and me. He's talking about his buddies, his friends, his pals. That's what he's talking about. Because, you know, as far as the Bush administration is concerned, the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their corporate allies, the only people that are human are them. We are not human. And because we are not human, they are free to do anything they want to us. We are Untermenschen. We are subhumans. And that's the real problem. And you know what? You know, they don't care about the planet they live on. You know, that's why they can feel free to destroy the environment. Whether they think they're going to be protected by God or they just figure that whatever happens is not going to happen in their lifetimes, they just don't care. They just don't care. And that's the real threat. That's the biggest threat in the world. I mean, because that's the cause of all the other threats. You know what I'm saying? That's the cause of all the other threats. And it's a combination of fundamentalist organized religion and insane people like Fred Phelps. And I think the man is insane, really. And how people can sit there and think that God hates the world? I mean, look, I'm not trying to pretend to be, you know, a religious person or anything like that. And I'm certainly not, and I'm agnostic. And I'm proud of my agnosticism because I do believe that true learning comes from doubting, comes from trying to understand instead of just, you know, here's some doctrine that's been written down, you know, however many years ago, and we're just going to follow that. You know, like this thing that the Catholics had about limbo, saying, well, limbo isn't real. And I'm like, well, okay, was it real before? You know? But it just seems to me, you know, even in my agnosticism, that God wouldn't hate the world. And it wouldn't hate all of its people. I mean, if he hated it so much, he'd really just destroy it. He wouldn't be futzing around, you know. I mean, he could send the whole planet right into the sun. If you're talking about all-powerful, you know, he could do that right now. Take a little thing, knock it right into the sun, play a little pinball with it or something, you know. It'd be very easy for him if he's all-powerful. I just couldn't believe that. I mean, you know, whatever form I think God takes, I just don't believe that. That just doesn't make any sense to me. God hates the world? And why? Because some guys like to have sex with other guys and because some women like to have sex with other women? What business is it of theirs? What business is it of theirs? And what is their psychological need to screw with people's lives? And I could spend whole shows analyzing it. We can get psychiatrists on here to talk about it because, you know, they'd certainly be more qualified than I am. I think a lot of it is just simply fear. Myself, I'm just going to venture an opinion. I think a lot of it is just fear. Fear that if you don't go out and control other people will go out and start controlling you. I think that really worries them. And so they go out and they get more and more and more. But as I've said on any number of occasions, the problem with the Republican Party is not so much that they're ambitious and that they'll do certain things to get elected. The Democrats do some nasty things too. I'm not going to sit there, you know, and claim that they're angels. Of course not. The question always is, what do they do with the power once they've gotten it? And that's the big deal right there. That's the big deal right there. For the Republicans, the only thing they know what to do with power once they get it is to get more of it. They use it to get 1 million, then they want 2 million. They got 2 million, they want to get 4 million. And now, of course, we're talking, you know, in the billions, real money. In the trillions, real money. Not satisfied. We've got 20 trillion. If we don't have 40 trillion, there's something wrong. I've seen it in all these people who try to get caught up in these scams. You know, all they talk about is, oh, this guy made millions of dollars. And I'm like, yes, so? Is that supposed to mean something to me? But other people buy it. I want to have $1 million too. And it's some failing of mine that I don't have it. And that's where they get you. That's where they get you. They want you to think that it's some failing of yours that you're not a millionaire. Because that's what the goal is. The goal is not to be happy to them. The goal is to be a millionaire. And I've always said that what's best in life, if you have a life where you can go to your job and you enjoy your work and you enjoy the company at your work, and then you can come home and you enjoy the company of your family, whatever that form that family takes, you know, that is the best possible life you could want for yourself. That is as good a life as any human being has ever had. Because you know something? The people with the power up there, the people like the Bushes and the Roves and all them, they're miserable. And all they're trying to do is account for their misery. I remember, you know, Boris Yeltsin died this past week, and I remember a clip of him with Bill Clinton. And I don't really know what happened. It was something they showed on a blooper reel. And Bill Clinton, I don't know what Boris Yeltsin did. Maybe he blew a fart or something. I don't know. But Clinton was just laughing hysterically, and a really kind of uncontrolled, happy laughter. And you never see Bush or Cheney or stuff guys like that laugh like that. I don't think they're capable of it. I just don't think they're capable of it. A real strong human emotion. Okay, that's enough. Enough of me rambling. The show's over. Hey, Bob Kincaid, do me a favor. Let me know what the sponsors are. B1 Productions? I don't remember. My memory's not that good. Let me know who the sponsors are, please, so I can plug them. And then we can get out of here properly. I want to thank John Fox for letting me help him out here while he's out doing stuff. And I want to thank, of course, Bob Kincaid. B1 Louder of Sydney, Australia. Thank you very much. And the Carpenter Union, right? That's the other one? The Carpenter Union. Is Building a Better Tomorrow? I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact thing. But Building... The carpenters build a better tomorrow. That Jesus was a carpenter. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Building the American dream. Thank you very much. Bill O'Brien. Dr. Bill O'Brien is coming up next on your head-on radio network stations. I don't know if I'll be back tomorrow or not with the Cup of Joe show. If so, I'll see you tomorrow. If not, whatever. In the meantime, get back to work.
I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's
ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Music and politics.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, the House today will vote on a $100 billion war appropriations bill. The measure contains an October 1st deadline to bring the troops home. The president has vowed to veto any bill containing a timetable for troop withdrawal. On Wall Street, for the first time in financial history, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has broken the 13,000-point ceiling today in trading. The market's best indicator hit 13,036.99 before retracing and holding around the landmark position. We'll have more from Wall Street later. Last night, a tornado ripped through the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, killing 7 in the U.S. and 3 in Mexico. The same storm system also brought tornadoes to Colorado and Oklahoma and flooding across parts of Iowa and Nebraska. The U.N. says it is unable to furnish its usual report on civilian casualties in Iraq because the Iraqi government is withholding the information. According to the Iraqi government, the delay is due to a change in the data collection methodology and not to politics. A suicide bomber attacked a police station in the Diyala province today, killing 4 policemen and wounding 16. In other sectarian violence around Baghdad, 2 Iraqi civilians were killed and 8 others wounded. The U.S. military identified an insurgent killed in the Anbar province last week as a senior al-Qaeda official. The Pentagon says the dead Iraqi led a militant group that recruited children for suicide car bombing operations. Murder charges have been filed against the Canadian prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, setting the stage for his military trial. Omar Khadr was 15 when he was captured during a battle in Afghanistan. If convicted, he faces a life sentence. In Turkey, representatives from Iran and the EU resumed talks today, focused on Tehran's uranium enrichment program. It will be the first meeting since the UN implemented new Iranian sanctions. In Mexico City, municipal lawmakers have voted to legalize abortion for the first time, for the first community in a predominantly Catholic Mexico to do so. Adversaries